Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Selfless Love Talk with show with your host, Coach Chanel Budd. And I am honored to bring back our special guest speaker, Genoval Henry. Welcome back, Genoval. How are you?
I'm good this morning. How are you? How are you?
I am good. We will be discussing part two of the journey for life for transplant recipients, donors, and caregivers. And we promised we would be back for our second session, our second episode. And I am delighted to have Genoval come back on. Again, we are going to be speaking to you all about some very important facts, sharing some resources and important information, as well as having a great support network when you're going through major life-changing events. So, Genoval, welcome back. I'm going to go ahead and hand you the show for a moment. And if there's anything you would like to speak with me about or ask any questions to correlate, I'm open to do so. So thank you and welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. As we left off, I guess I just want to say blessings to you and your family. I believe we left off when we were talking about care. What is it like caring for a person? And I wanted to ask you, what is it like caring for a stubborn transplant patient? Because, you know, sometimes we can be extremely stubborn and we can blame it on our meds, but a lot of times it's the traumatic events, because it's a traumatic event for the whole family. Because you guys get to see stuff that I don't think we even get to see. And you get to hear stuff that we don't get to hear. So what is it like?
So, you know, when you're walking this journey together, you know, as a caregiver and also as the patient, I think I had spoken on the only thing that we don't go through is the physical of, you know, the surgeries, the medications, and things like that. But we do go through some of the physical as well, as far as the trauma, the emotional state, the mental state, and all, because, like you said, we see some of the things that you all don't see. And, you know, it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of strength, you know, and courage and love. It number one is it takes love. And so, you know, when you love someone so much and it's your loved one, your child, your spouse, your parent, you know, that love is unconditional, or it should be, right? If you do love someone that much, that's the type of love that you have to make sure that you always keep, you know, that unconditional love to be able to get through, because that's what it takes. You go through the, you know, you have to bathe, sometimes even bathe them after transplant. You have to make sure their medications are in order. The pharmacists and the doctors would like for the patient to be able to do these things for themselves, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. You know, when you have so many medications and then they have changes, they tell you to change this, do that. That can be very confusing as well. So, and just to see, like, I don't know, there's a lot of times that I like to explain this in my coaching field, is that people don't realize that we all are connected and can feel each other's energy. So if one part of you is off, it can create the other part of you to be off, right? So if your loved one is, you know, feeling the anxiousness, the anxiety, and the panic, well, that can produce the same in the caregiver. And so, you know, you always have to be aware. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. I just said,
Okay. So you always have to be aware of one another's, you know, feelings and try not to take everything so personable, because sometimes the irritability of the patients and things like that can cause frustration in the caregiver as well. And You know, so it takes a lot of processing and support and understanding. I think the biggest key point of this is that you have to understand that your loved one is going through something that is majorly life-changing, right? And fighting for their will to live. And all of that is a lot. It's a lot. You know, and so, you know, one of the things that I respect and love about you is that you continue to push forward and you continue to be a voice, you know, and you're also standing and you're on this journey yourself. And so, you know, I totally want to say, if you're a caregiver, you know, make sure that you have someone that you can go to, that you can talk to, that will pray for you, that will, you know, understand you, because caregivers need to really honestly have support as well as the patient. You know, if you can get multiple caregivers, that would be great, because then you can switch. You know, the main caregiver is there all the time, but sometimes the caregiver needs self-care as well. And as long as the caregiver is getting that self-care, it really honestly helps ease, you know, the patient's anxiety and everything, as well as the caregiver being, you know, okay and happy about doing what they need to do for their loved one. A lot of times when you go through the transplant, you know, sessions, and they're prepping you and preparing you for transplant, there are some important things that they leave out. So a lot of things you learn after transplant, post-transplant, when you're actually having to go through the process. And so in that, this is why we have the platform. This is why we're speaking up and speaking out today, to prepare those who may have to endure this journey, you know, along their life. You never know who or when or how something will take effect for someone else to have to go through this. And so we are here being a voice on both sides. You know, Genova is actually a transplant recipient, and I was a main caregiver for my husband. And so we are here to share some of the things that will help other people as they listen, you know, to this show. So, Genova, is there anything else you would like to ask me?
I guess, you know, I think we need to also talk about, you know, the pitfalls. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, what was it like going through all of this? And then, you know, because I think we always talk about the great things, but we also need to talk about the other side. You know, that's one thing that I always try to explain to people. Like, there's a side where everybody's happy and, oh, my God, you got it. But there's also a side where, you know, there's another part of it where you don't make it. A lot of us, to even get the heart, it's a lottery just to get on them. And then just to survive it is a totally different one in itself. And then, you know, it's so many different levels to it. And what was it like going through those different levels of happiness, pain, everything?
So for me, I would say, you know, again, faith, number one, is what helped Alvin and I endure. And my faith is, you know, my faith is unwavering. I have unwavering faith in the Lord. And I know that his will is his will, you know. So what I did was I encouraged my husband. I was not afraid. I was concerned. I'll say that. I was concerned, but I knew that if he did not have the transplant, you know, either way his life could have been shorter, right? If he would have said, you know what, I just want to live my life and whatever happens, happens, that was also a choice. And his heart failure, his EF was like only 3%, 3 or 5%. And so for him, he did not have any major, you know, hospitalization stays or anything that had happened to him outside of having edema, which is just fluid, you know, and shortness mm-hmm. of breath. Those were his only two symptoms prior to transplant. So after transplant, once he went in to have the transplant, I mean, as a caregiver and as a wife and as a prayerful wife, one of the biggest things that I seen through all of it was the step-by-step-by-step process. Because for me and our daughter, we were there in a waiting room when they were literally calling me. Every time they did something, they called me. So they called me and said, "Mrs. Budd, we just took your husband's heart out. Mrs. Oh. Budd, we just put the donor heart in. Mrs. Budd, your husband's surgery was successful. His body oh. took the new heart. 3.5 hours is all it was for my husband's heart surgery." Okay. So in that, and he made it, it was a glorious moment. It was a scary, happy, and emotional all in one, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. Those wow. are the different depths and levels that people don't really understand or realize from the caregiver or the person who loves a spouse or a child, you know, who has to go through that process. Because while you are going through yours, we are having to be strong, you know, and prayerful and courageous on the other side. So we have a twofold physical, emotional, and mental thing, because we have to also keep ourselves strong enough to be able to care and love you all as the recipient, right?
Okay.
And so with the heart transplant, one of the things about my husband, Alvin, is that he was very, 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 very thorough with understanding the medications, his body, and everything like that, okay? And he had a very sensitive and complex body, like you had explained about some of your, you know, your past health and body needs and how sensitive and complex your body was in certain ways, right? So with Alvin, the donor heart that he had, he started to have rejection and infection maybe 3.5 months out from obtaining his heart. So although he had the best 3 months ever and he had a healthy heart and he was starting to embrace and love the heart that he was given, the gift that he was given, it started to go into rejection early on. And so for a year or so, he battled with trying to keep his heart, you know, get his heart back healthy and not fighting against his body and things like that. Because when you have a foreign organ in you, your natural body wants to go towards that which is foreign. And so that's where the medications and everything come in at to play a part in trying to keep your body from attacking the foreign, you know, the organ, right?
Right.
So Alvin ended up getting CAV, which is another heart disease that donor hearts can get. Okay.
Right.
And these are some of the things that they don't really tell you in the beginning when you're getting a transplant, because in that moment, all they're trying to do is save you now. So these are major things, though, that people need to, you know, be made aware of, that indeed a donor heart, you know, depending on the heart, because they can't specify, okay, this heart is going to get it or this one is not. They don't know. But in Alvin's case, the donor heart ended up getting a disease called CAV, which was another form of heart failure. So he had to have stents put in the donor heart, and they were telling him he needed a second heart transplant. All within 3 years of receiving a transplant. So on the transplant journey, everyone should also be made aware of, and Alvin was very, very clear with me on this. He said, "Chanel, transplants are not a fix. They don't, just because you get a transplant does not mean that you're automatically fixed, okay? There is no cure. What happens is you get prolonged life.
Right.
And some people get to live 15, 20 years, 10 years, you know what I mean? And some people don't make it off the table from the original transplant. Some people will last a year. You know, some people will last 2 years. And as my husband, you know, his was three years in 1 month, not even a whole month. So just 3 years in, you know, 3 weeks or so. Almost 3 years in a month, 1 month. And So with that being said, is there something else you wanted to ask me?
I guess for the family, I mean, what was it like? It's always so many things that we want to know. I met Alvin in the hospital, and there were so many things. You know, he was blessed. You know, I want to thank my sister. You know, my young sister, my sister under me came and took care of me, and she came here and took care of me for months. You know, I just wonder, because the things that I wanted to know, I didn't get that opportunity. You know, she came later, but my friends and that live here, they kind of, you know, they really helped do everything until my family got to it. But family is a huge, important, it's huge in your care. But also for me, it was like I was kind of by myself. I don't know if I can kind of explain that, you know, because my sister had to go back home and, you know, but even after, you know, people think you recover in a couple months. It takes you mentally, it takes you years. I don't know if you truly, really recover from it.
Yeah.
Because mentally, it's like somebody, we always say, it's like somebody took you to the top of the building, the tallest building, and just dropped you off the tallest. And
wow.
Like if you're in a, you're in a room and a bomb goes off. That's what it feels like. And you have shrapnel all over your body, but everybody else is looking like, oh my goodness, you're fine. You look so good. But internally, your body is a mess mentally. And I understand why mentally it takes a lot for you to really make it, because it's a mental game every day. Most people don't know. You wake up, you take these meds. And some days you take the meds, you feel like trash. You feel like somebody has just run you over with a car.
Yeah,
it's just like somebody run you over with a car. But most people think like, okay, you look good, you feel good, you blah blah blah, but they don't understand that it's a mental grind every day. Some days the meds get the best of you. You know, the meds take over, and sometimes you wake up and you just don't want to get out of the bed, but you remember that this has been sacrificed, and you know what you really need to do and how you really need to move forward. But I just always wondered, as far as being a patient, what is it like, you know, caring for us? Because, you know, my family, you know, my sister Keisha, she did so much for me. And I know she had to go back home. But even when, you know, she went back home, you know, my family still, you know, my mom, my sisters, they all still took care of me. And it was just such a blessing. But it was to the point where, you know, I was married and I was, you know, the divorce and everything. I really wish I had somebody like you, you know, a family member that was just, you know, I could just be there. But I went through it for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
I pretty much, the reason why I went through it is because I had to go through it. And it made me a much stronger person. Did I like it? No. But, you know, it made me who I am. But I just wonder as a caregiver, you know, because a lot of times we could be a pain in the butt. I mean, let's be honest. And I ain't going to even use butt. We could use other words to say how much of a pain we can be. And that's without the meds. And then sometimes when you get the meds in there, you know, and then some days we just don't feel good. I'm not going to even lie. So I just always wonder, you know, what was that like?
And I thank you for touching on this because, to be honest, like, it's very difficult, you know, everything that you're saying is true. It's true. And I know, you know, you're, again, you being on here to actually express those things, when you don't know and it's your first time going through this, as a caregiver and, like, my husband was a very – he was a very loving but fussy and cranky man, and he did not bite his tongue. So that is what is it called? Amplified to like 10 times that on medication. And when you don't know, it's like, okay, I know he doesn't feel good or something is wrong, but, you know, It can wear the caregiver out. That's why I said it's important for us to have that love, that unconditional love, because if you have that, you can endure and will endure. And we were able to persevere because, you know, of the love. And my husband, the will to live, my husband's will to live was so amazing to me and humbling to me, and I treated him as I always did. So even though he lost weight, you know, he lost a lot of weight, he was uncomfortable with his body, his new body, you know, because he had to embrace this new person that he had become overnight, really, right? And so for me, I had to also embrace this new person. I had to love him. I had to love him more because I wanted him to embrace himself so that he could heal with that new heart that he was given. And, you know, for men, the confidence and, you know, when you're good looking and you're comfortable and confident in yourself, and then it changes, your body just changes, you have to go back and start to love the new person that you have become, until you can get your weight back up and things like that. So there's a lot of different emotional and mental things, you know. But I continue to try to encourage him and love on him and things like that, you know, to help him know that you're still a beautiful man. You're still a blessing. You know, God extends, he gave you more time, you know, and he favored us, you know, and you too, you know. And so... with all of this being said, you know, my husband, I'm going to share something with you that really got to me yesterday, and I think it's the most appropriate time to do so. So as I'm grieving my husband, it's been 4 months. It's been 4 months and a few days since he has passed, and I got a letter in the mail, and it was from the hospital, the transplant team, okay? Well, the donor team. And basically they were thanking us for the gift of life that Alvin had given because he was a donor and because he was a recipient of a heart transplant, he became a donor. And so one of the things he said he wanted to do was, you know, he would want to give someone his tissue so that they would be able to see. So he selected some of his parts, and I'm like looking at him like, boy. You know, and at the time, he was so excited because he had just received the gift of life as well. And so when they came into the room and asked him, would he be willing to do that, he was absolutely, you know. And so I got a letter yesterday saying that Alvin has gifted two people, a 69-year-old male and a 30-year-old individual, with restoration of sight.
Wow. Wow. You know, believe it or not, we had talked about that. And, you know, most, all of us, we talk about how we would give. But that, I believe, look, okay, you got to meet these people. You got to send a letter back to them, and you have to meet them. That is amazing. That is amazing and beautiful. But we talk about that all the time. We talk about how we want to give because somebody has given to us. But you definitely need to, go do that and meet them. Wow, that's amazing. That is
so
amazing.
So it is very heavy for me. And his birthday is Tuesday, October the 19th. So
yep.
I'm like, what a birthday present. I mean, like Tuesday, and I'm getting a letter, and they're just saying, thank you. Thank you for the gift that you have given to two other people so that they may be able to see.
Mm. Wow. Well, you have to keep us, you have to update us on all that and keep us up to breath to that.
Absolutely.
Definitely have to keep us up with that. But it's so good to hear your voice, especially under under these circumstances. I guess my last question would be, I don't know how much time we have, but my last question would be, like, what do you see in the next part of your journey of your life?
Great question.
I'm interviewing you today, huh?
Great question. I mean, this is good, powerful questions. And you know, like I said, our listening audience will be able to take this, you know. And so I'm just blessed to be able to speak on my husband's behalf and on a caregiver's behalf and to answer your questions as well. So what I would say for me is that I live within my purpose. Like I had explained earlier, you know, like selfless love talk, that's a part of my purpose, to bring people on, guest speakers on, you know, wonderful people like yourself to share, to collaborate, and to help uplift and encourage our communities, our families, and everyone across the world. So for me, I live in my purpose. What I do see for my future going forward is being able to help other people find themselves, who they are, love themselves for who they are, and go out here and change the world. You know, share your testimonies. I will be sharing mine. I have published works, so I do have books that are out there. I have selfless love lessons. I have a Free from Silence. It's an anthology. And it does touch on relationships, you know, because, you know, breaking toxic cycles and generational cycles and things like that, that is a part of my purpose, because I believe that African-American families, you know, we had a lot of disadvantages, but it's time for us to have advantages. And so that's what I do. I have tangible items, you know, I have designer shoes, footwear, I have, you know, selfless love, T-shirts and hoodies and things like that. I've incorporated my husband's heart health brand, Active Beat, into my Selfless Love store, selflessloveessentials.com. And so you can support us there. Anyone who is listening can support us there. And I have a fragrance line that is coming out, and it's called Selfless Love, and it's for women. And I'm very excited about it, so I will be having a perfume launch for that. And the reason why I have created all of these things is because I would like to spread the message to love one another more unselfishly. Selfless love is agape love. It's unconditional love, and that's who I am, and that was a gift from God. I have a heart, you know, that loves and truly loves, like I truly love. It's a genuine love. And so you know, those are the things that I am going to be doing, you know, but I'm doing it all for the kingdom and to help other people heal, because, you know, we are broken people, and it takes one to start it, right? And that's who I am. And I will be doing a lot of things also in honor of my husband, Alvin Buzz Sr., because he was a very, very large part of my journey. If God had not gifted me with my husband, you know, my purpose, one of the things that made me see my purpose more clearly was my husband and I's journey. You know, our journey through marriage, our journey through transplant, our journey through raising our child, our journey through spirituality, you know, everything. And so that's it. That's what I seek to do. I won't say, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be married again or however, but I'm just going to embrace what God has for me, and I'm going to do it wholeheartedly.
Well, I'm so glad that, you know, we all met. I'm just hoping that we talked about other things coming up, and I can continue to help you and be involved. And I think me helping someone actually makes me feel better, you know, because I went through a bout of rejection myself just recently.
Yeah.
So for me, always try to help others who help, because it always feels better for me. And I'm hoping that, you know, I just want to thank all the caregivers. I want to thank my sister, Keisha Henry. I want to thank my mom, my brothers and sisters. I just want to thank everybody, my team of people. A special shout out to my mom, all my brothers, Antoine, everybody. I can go down the line. We'll have to do another show if I go down the line. And I think one of the next shows we should talk about is family and how important family is, and not just being a transplant, but being, you know, family in everyday life. And
right.
How, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have family. I actually want to thank, you know, my ex, my children, Go Miners. My children would, I believe to this day, and you know, I get kind of choked up, if it wasn't for the thought of them, I would have let go a long time ago. And I believe that we all have a purpose, and it's something that keeps us and holds us here. Because, you know what it's like when you get to the end. You know, it's what's holding you here. But on a happier note, is so glad to hear your voice. We will stay in touch. We got to go to, we got to hang out, you know, one day.
Absolutely.
And do that and stay in touch. You know, I know you're busy. You're traveling, you know, you're traveling and you're doing your thing. Hopefully you can brush some of that over here. And it's just good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Yours too. And before we go, I would like for you to tell our listening audience what you have. Because you do have a business, right?
Yes,
you're
I do.
You're a creative.
I have.
Yes.
Actually, it's called Sunny Creations. It's on Facebook and it's on Instagram. I make bracelets, gym bracelets, customized. I make them custom wear, and I do T-shirts and hoodies. A lot of the things I give away to transplant patients, transplant recipients, doctors, nurses, police officers, but this is the thing that I do. If you look me up on Gynovel, G-Y-N-O-V-E-L, Henry, and Sunny Creations is S-U-N-N-I, and Creations with a K. Look me up on Facebook and Instagram, and you can see some of the things. A lot of times I give stuff away, like we have a sale coming up, believe it or not, in honor of the people that I've lost, like Alvin. Starting Tuesday, I'm going to do a sale. You buy one for $30 and you buy two for $50. And you can pick anything you want on my website, and I'll make it and personally make it for you. All the way
That's
through
amazing.
The end of November the 5th was my dad's birthday. And he's not here any longer, so till November the 5th. But you know, I got you. You just got to tell me your colors.
Yeah. I'll send them to you for sure.
But definitely, I know Alvin loved red and white, so I got to get you a red and white one. So,
Thank you.
Otherwise, I mean, that's pretty much it. My babies won last night, so they going to a bowl game. So go UTEP.
Yay. I'm very, very honored to have you. You know, I feel better today after this show already because, again, that's why I said it's important for, you know, community, right? That's why it's important to be able to share our testimonies and everything because it really uplifts and encourages us all on every every aspect, you know. And so that's
we
got to
get you on video
important.
Now. People got to see your face.
Yes, they
do. We got to get you on video.
Yes. So
we
got to
get you video so they can see your they can see all your aura and your you know, all your laughter and all that. We need to get you on TV. You know, we got to get you right.
Absolutely. So let's work on that. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Well, I don't have
any
hair. You're going to need a stylist. I don't have any hair, so, you know, you're the one with the glowing locks, so we're going to let you roll with that. I'll just be the bald-headed guy sitting on the sideline.
Well, thank you. Thank
it's
you.
Good.
Thank
it's
you.
So good to see you. I mean,
you
hear
well.
You, and I'll see you sometime.
All right. So we'll go ahead and make plans for that. And it was a wonderful time here on the Selfless Love Talk Show with Coach Chanel Budd and our very own guest speaker, phenomenal speaker, Janavel Henry. I thank you again. This was a wonderful episode. Have a blessed day, and we will meet again soon. Bye.
See you later.
For now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.